Okay. So, Genesis, let's give 1 minute and then we'll start.
All right, sounds good.
Yep. So,
Matt,
I have a campus brother lineup right there.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Ray, what's up?
Hey, not much. Good. It's kind of dark here, but it's me.
Yeah, I recognize that voice.
Marcel.
We understand, Ray. You probably invented a barbershop like the rest of us.
Oh, no, bro. I got my own equipment.
Hey, hon.
I just went back 20 years.
Ross, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who's that, Raleigh?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Rolly?
Not all that, just eager, very eager to join you guys.
Good to see you,
man.
Good to see you.
How's the birthday boy, 50th?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Who's that, Paulie Paul?
Ah! Tongue leader.
I can.
Why can you move a little bit? No,
you know, I'm going to be annoying you.
We're going to taste your good cooking. Are you mute?
All right, Matt, so let's get rolling.
Need a haircut.
All right. Well, guys, welcome to the call. As Jens was saying, if you can mute yourself, that would be great. We'll get started here. In the campus ministry, our East group, which is our Newark students, Seton Hall, over in the Hudson Valley, the Hudson County as well, we call ourselves the Beast Easts. Easts, we're taking over. We're doing some incredible things, and God, I mean, I'll say that in the campus ministry, God's doing incredible things, and I know just even in your guys' lives, I know God is working. I just want to share a quick scripture as we're about to get into the Word of God. We do have an abbreviated time together, which I'm sure Russ will share a little bit more about what's going on after this. But in Second Chronicles 16:9, a scripture that you've probably read 1,000 too many times, and a scripture that I'm going to keep going back to, but it's really powerful. Thanks, Genesis, for doing that. I'll read it from there. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And while we're in the coronavirus and everything and is going on, things are different. God's eyes do not stop scouring the earth, looking for the men who are fully committed to Him. And I just want to share with us, remind us that that's our call, is that we're here to be fully committed. And if you're not feeling fully committed, whatever that might look like, that's even just a strange word. I mean, what does fully committed look like? Who knows? But that's why we're here, is to be re-strengthened, to recommit ourselves. I know sometimes I feel like I come to a meeting in the body, and I've been a Christian for 9 years. Some of you guys have been there much longer than me. I've been to over 600 midweeks, okay? This is not new news to me, but I need to be here. And sometimes I need it more often than not so that I can be recommitted to Him. And so that's my prayer for our time together. This is a great time, but really let this be a time where wherever you're at, the mental space or the energy or the conflicts, whatever that might be, let us be the men who slow down, who hear God's words tonight, and really apply it to our lives and recommit ourselves to Him. So guys, it's great to be together. I'm so grateful that we're here. I really am inspired by this group of heroes. I get to scroll through the pages of mighty men. It's so cool hearing, I guess, Claudio Chacon gotten restored last Thursday. Congrats, bro. We're so happy for you. But with that being said, let's pray together. Evian White from the Campus Ministry will be praying. Go
for it, man. All right. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together despite everything that's going on with the coronavirus. I really pray, well, I guess first and foremost for tonight, I really, apparently Russ is speaking. I don't know. Someone told me that. So I pray that you really speak through him tonight. That tonight is just filled with wisdom, encouragement from just being together, and just insight, how to live, righteous lives. I pray for this evening. In your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 Go for it.
Amen.
Me?
You're all right. You're up, Hudson.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone. This evening's announcements are as follows. The New Jersey Edge Ministry will be having their Devo on May 10th at 7 p.m. And the title is Peace in the Pandemic. All New York City Church of Christ Devo will be on May the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. There will also be a global Devo on May the 29th at 9 p.m. There will be a marriage night live on May 15th at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. All information for these services were sent out via text or email. The New Jersey Young Professional Ministry present a virtual workshop night this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. and all age are invited. And lastly, please remember to tune in on Sunday, May the 10th at 11 a.m. for our Zoom service. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, good evening, brothers. How's everybody doing?
We're good. We're good.
Good. All right. All right.
All right, Russ.
Well, I want to first off welcome you to our first East County Men's Midweek. And, you know, we have teens on the call. We got campus students. We got Edge Brothers. And then we got the married men.
Man.
That's right. Holding it down.
On Sunday, it was really exciting listening to the great lesson that Steve Kennard did. He asked a question that I think we got to ask ourselves. What would my spiritual story be after the pandemic? Because there's a story that's being created right now. And it's so incredible, guys, that tonight we're going to look at a man's story. And we're going to look at an example that you and I can learn from, can be inspired from, and to not allow what's going on around us to affect what God has put in us. And so I want to ask you to take a stroll over to Job chapter 1. We're going to start in Job chapter 1 in verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. And this is a great book because, you know, it's got some incredible insights. But it says, one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." So, brothers, we can't forget that Satan has a time, he's got a date when it's all going to end for him. And what he spends his time doing is roaming throughout the earth for ways to pull people, especially believers, away from God. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered
my servant Job. There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the older brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the donkeys, gotta make that a little smaller, bro. Can't see. All right. Says the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. The Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up all the sheep and servant, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came. The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert, struck the four corners of the house, it collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And you know, I want to just stop there for a minute, because I think sometimes we can think, man, I had a bad day today. You know, when I look back at this example, man, that's a bad day.
Yep.
All in one day, he literally lost everything. He had 10 children, and he lost them all in one day. He lost his servants. He lost his maids, his livestock. I mean, brothers, how would you be feeling if you heard bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news, and there you are, just you and your wife, and you've lost everything? You know I'd be literally overwhelmed. You know, last Monday, on the 27th of April, I was out on a prayer walk, and my dad called me up and told me that one of my cousins passed away. And he didn't have health issues, and I was shocked, and I couldn't believe what I heard. And, you know, obviously I got emotional, and I just started to think about him, because he, you know, had helped a lot with our property. And, you know, we kind of got a lot closer lately, because we just were spending more time together. But, you know, when you hear bad news, you can go in kind of one or two different directions. And what you see with Job is that Job went to God when he felt the pain and he felt the suffering, because again, there was nowhere else for him to go. He wasn't going to find comfort even from his wife. He wasn't going to find comfort from you know, playing video games or doing something else, that pain caused him to go to God. And despite how incredibly harsh the pain appears from our perspective, God only gives Satan enough rope to hang himself. It's never enough to drag us away from God. And that was something that Job got. He understood that. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And I love that perspective, because he didn't look at it as his stuff, his kids, his this, his that. It all belonged to the Lord. And the Lord decided, okay, that time has come. You know, you continue reading this story in chapter 2, and I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but in chapter 2, verse 4, you know, it's one thing when things happen to you or happen to people close to you, but then there's something else when the pain hits on your front step, and now you're in pain. And in verse 4, again, Satan comes. He's talking to the Lord. He says, skin for sin, skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a broken pottery, took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, here is this kind of second picture where now Job is feeling the pain. You know, as I've gotten older, I'm feeling more pains nowadays. Things are starting to hurt that I'm like, what happened? It's funny when you are in personal pain, how, I don't know about you, but you know, you can be a little irritable, a little cranky, a little whiny in some ways. But the Bible says that God allowed Satan to inflict Job painful sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. You know, I used to look at Job's wife and say, man, this woman is just so unspiritual. And that's just, you know, my insensitive kind of lack of understanding. You know, this woman pushed out 10 kids and lost them all. And it made me realize, you know, that pain, she was still there. She was still dealing with the 10 funerals that she had to go and see her kids go before her. And it wasn't that she wasn't, you know, strong or what. It was just she was having a hard time. She was having a harder time, I should say, than Job. But, you know, I love the fact that Job had his convictions. And Job maintained his connection to God. And brothers, he said something that you and I gotta hear what he's saying. He says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? See, we gotta remember that the enemy was behind all of this bad stuff that was going on. And the fact is that God allowed it to happen, and we don't know what the reasoning is behind that. All we know is God allowed it to happen. But you look at Job's response. He says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And all of it, Job did not sin. You know, I got to keep remembering that I have a choice even when I'm in personal pain. When I'm personally struggling, I have a choice. And again, we can't decide what's going to happen. We can only decide how we are going to respond to this. You know, as I said last week, was I call it the roller coaster week. On Monday, I get the message about my cousin passing away. On Tuesday, my wife kind of helped get me out of the downward spiral and had a birthday drive-by and 50 cars just encouraging me on my 50th birthday. Thank you very much for all of that. 2 days later, the next day, my sister's my niece had a baby girl, healthy baby girl. And what that did for our family is that on my mom's side and on my dad's side, they are now, my grandmothers are now great-great grandmothers. And now we got 5 generations on both sides of the family. And I was just like, amen. You know, God, that's awesome. But then I get the phone call about Rose Francois, and she lost her husband, Jerry. And so now it's like, when this up and down, and that, where do you go when those things happen? Job had the right perspective because he knew who was in control. His perspective is something that you and I got to keep learning. We got to keep learning to accept everything that comes in life, sifted through the fact that God is sovereign. Some things he allows, some things he makes happen. But the fact is he's got us in the palm of his hand. And that he is a God that doesn't like to see us suffer, but that there's a reason behind it. And we may never understand that until later on. But there was a reason that Job was going through what he was going through. And that God was allowing him to be tested in this way. You know, it's so incredible when you stop and you think about that. And, you know, then you read through all of the conversations up until the end of the book. And if you could go to the end of Job, chapter 42. And I love what he says here. And starting in verse 1, Job says this after going through all that trial and his friends giving him a hard time and trying to, you know, say things that God wasn't saying. And Job replies, and then God had to talk to Job a little bit. And this is the thing, brothers. Sometimes you and I need to have that talk with God that reminds us of who he is, that causes us to stand in allegiance and attention, because we're talking to Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who began everything with just one word. And Job needed to be reminded of who God was. And here's what he says in Job 42, verse 1. I know that you can do all things. See, brothers, we got to remember, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is that that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you. But look what he says. But now my eyes have seen you. See, I heard of you, but now I see you. And we know God's not physical, but it was like God opened the eyes of his heart so that he could see who he was. He says, therefore, I despise myself in verse 6 and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 7, after the Lord had said these things to Job, and he goes off and he talks to these guys and basically rebukes these three friends who didn't know what they were talking about. And then it says in verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, look at this. The Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold and a gold ring. Verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. I'm going to say that again. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. See, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in seeing things as they are and not realize, man, God's setting us up. He's setting us up to do something even greater than before. He says he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he had also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Again, that's 10 kids. He lost 10 and got 10 back. Unbelievable. He says in verse 15, He says, nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man full of years. You know, brothers, I want to encourage us to remember something that we have to keep in our hearts and keep in our minds. And that's one thing. Remember who is in control. Remember who's in control. It is very easy to think that this pandemic is in control. It's very easy to think that, you know, because of the economic situation that, well, this is in control, and government officials are in control, or China's in control. I mean, we could be all over the map, but we got to continue to remember, like Job did, who is in control, and never lose sight of the fact that there's always a purpose behind the pain that you and I may endure. I want to look at one last passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because sometimes God has given us an opportunity through our suffering and trials to make the most of it and not just kind of go through it begrudgingly, but to really make the most of it. And here's one of the things that I'm praying is that I don't not just come out of this different, but while we're in the midst, that I can help someone else who maybe doesn't see things from a spiritual perspective. But in verse 3, Paul gives us some insight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. You know, one of the things that's so different about Christians is remembering God's allowing us to go through things, because there is going to be someone else, whether it's a brother or sister or a friend in the faith, that's going to go through something that you, brother, may be the only one that can help and relate to that person. And that comfort, or that struggle, that process of going through something that you've learned, is going to be what that person needs so that they can see their self and their way through. You know, maybe this is going to be a time where you and your spouse get closer and connected. Maybe this is going to be the time that you and your kids have this just bond and connection. Again, maybe it's the neighbor that rarely speaks and comes out the house. I don't know. Maybe it's the person that's, again, all alone and is in isolation, but then they remember you, or you remember them. I want to encourage us to have that perspective like Job did. Naked I came, naked I'm returned. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Shall we accept only good and not trouble? No, no, no. We're going to praise and we're going to worship our Father. And we're not going to allow this pandemic to thwart our perspective. Instead, we're going to continue to look to our Father, the Father of compassion, the one who comforts us, and help and allow him to help guide us through these challenging times. Because we believe not only is he in control, not only is he the one that allows things to happen, but he's the one that also puts that hedge around us and protects us in ways that we can't even see. And Satan can't do anything without his permission. And so, brothers, I want to encourage us as we continue through this time, what will be your story? What will be your story? What will be the thing that you look back and you said, man, I learned this. I deepened this conviction, or I developed this attitude. What will be your story? Like Job, he had the story that now we're reading about. And we see, whoa, God did something amazing with this man's life. And I want to say to the older disciples, I want you to hear me, brothers. The latter part was greater than the first part. Let that be said about you. Let that be said about your walk with God. You know what? Yeah, those first 20-something years were awesome. But, man, 30, 40, and 50, that's when we were rocking. That's when we were rolling. Let that be said about you. And, again, let's continue, brothers, to remember the sovereignty of God. Who's in control? He's in control. He's got the whole world in his hand. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together.
Amen.
And I know that there's a great concert going on tonight, and so we're going to end here after this. And again, for those that would like to go and be a part of that, I know there's a link for Hope Worldwide is hosting a concert. But let's pray together. Brothers, it's been great being together. And, you know, look, we're together. And even though we can't be physically here to just look and see these faces, it's just very inspiring and encouraging that God's given us technology to allow us to still be together and encourage each other. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have your word, that we can look back into the lives of men like Job and get a perspective that he had a walk with you and a trust in you that we desire. Father, we don't want to be kids that think that everything's going to go our way, but we want to have the kind of faith that when things happen like life does that are unexpected, that we're not anticipating, that, Father, we still cling to you and we hold on to you. Help us hear your voice. Help us remember who you are, what you say, and, Father, how incredibly blessed we are to be in a right relationship with an almighty God. God, I pray that you help us to trust in you. Thank you so much for how you've provided us not just a right relationship with you, but you've given us, you know, families. You've given us wives, some of us. Some are on the way. You've given us, children. You've blessed us materially. But God, more than that, you've given us the forgiveness of our sins. You've given us your word, and you've given us your spirit. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now living inside of us, and that helps us in our times of need. God, we just want to surrender ourselves to you like Job did. We want to repent, and we want to see you as high and lifted up. We want to see you as Lord God Almighty. We want to see you as the God that can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing you can't do. But God, with us, with you, we know that all things are possible. Please, I pray that you would help the brothers and just, again, our time with you each day, God. Help us get up. Help us read your word, or whether before we go to bed or whatever. Help us, you know, those with wives that we pray together, that we're praying for our kids, that we're praying for our families, that we're just connected to you and one another. And Father, most importantly, help us to just praise and worship you each and every day, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we do know one thing. You've got a place prepared for us in heaven, and you have used your son to pave that way for us. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And God, it's in his amazing, precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother.